Okay. Again, welcome to everybody for another year of Pesach with SKA. It's a pleasure to share Divrei Torah. These have always been marketed generally towards parents, as I'm sure Mrs. Kamenetsky hinted to in the beginning, that the Pasuk says, V'igadat al-Bincha, it is for parents to teach the children, not the other way around. But again, as always, it's always wonderful to see students and alumni and friends to share Divrei Torah with again and again. However many years we've been doing this, I consistently have gone back to the same theme, and that is Hallel and Nirtza, because in most of our Siddurim, Hallel and Nirtza is abandoned towards the end, and people are drifting off and not paying attention. And I think it's important to be mechazik the importance of Hallel and Nirtza, and what Hallel and Nirtza brings to us, and what the feelings we should be expressing and feeling about at the end of the Pesach Haggadah. Let's begin. I want to look at the introduction of the Netziv. The Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi of Berlin, in his classic Haggadah, the Haggadah Imrei Shefer, which is based on the comments that the Netziv himself would make at the Pesach Seder. I'm not as prepared as Mr. Kamenetsky with slides, but this will have to suffice. The Netziv writes in his introduction to Hallel that the Hallel of the Leil HaSeder should follow in the footsteps as described in the Masechah Sofrim. And the Masechah Sofrim says that is a mitzvah min hamuvchar. It is a special mitzvah to recite Hallel on both nights b'ne'ima. And ne'ima means with a beautiful melody and a beautiful song. And the Netziv explains that this is a fulfillment of Veromama Shemo Yachtav, that we raise up the name of Hashem together as a unit, as a family. The melody, the ne'ima, says the Netziv, while singing Hallel, brings one to Avas Hashem and brings one to Dveikus and closeness with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Netziv understands that in that expression, V'romama Shemo Yachtav, that Romama refers to us. Not that we are raising up Hashem, but we, V'romama, we will be raised up, and we'll be raised up to levels of Avas Hashem through the recitation of Hallel ben Ima, of the singing of the Hallel, and reciting the Hallel beautifully. And that should be our kavana when it comes to Hallel, to sing it with our family, to share in the beautiful songs, and to raise up our neshamos, and to put our kavana into this Hallel, which is so different and so special than the rest of the year. At the end of the regular Hallel, there's what we call the Hallel Hagadol, as the Gemara in Pesachim refers to. And I want to bring an idea from a new Haggadah from this year, from the Haggadah of Rav Matasyo Solomon, the Haggadah Shal Pesach, Matnas Chaim. The Mashkiach of Lakewood wonders why we recite the Hallel Haggadah, these 26 lines that end, Ki La'olam Chasto, following the regular Hallel of the Seder. How come the regular Hallel is not enough? Why do we need this special Hallel that we add on to the regular Hallel on the Leil HaSeder? And he notes that the Gemara Pesachim and Kuf Yud Ches is the source of this halacha, and the Gemara says that it's called the Hallel HaGadol, the Great Hallel, because it describes how Hashem is Yoshev Berumo Shel Olam Umechalek Mizonos L'chol Bria, that Hashem sits in the upper realms, in the highest realms of the world, and He gives every single individual, every single being, every single creation exactly what they need. And Rashi explains, Hodu la'el ha'shamayim nosen lechem l'chol basar, that Hashem gives all the way up in the shamayim and all the way down in this world what they need, v'hainu davar gadol, and that is a big deal. It's a big thing. And the Maral explains in his comments in this Gemara, the greatest understanding that one can have of the kindness and chesed of Hashem is that He gives us sustenance, but not just us sustenance, that Hashem gives sustenance to all creatures in the world. It is a chesed that is even greater than the geula and the redemption from Mitzrayim. And this is why it says, no sein lechem l'chol basar. And only then does it say, v'yifrakenu mitzareinu, that Hashem has taken us out of our gullus and brought us into the geula. Lechem l'chol basar, sustaining us and giving us what we need, is much more important than even the coming of Mashiach. The purpose of this Hallel on the Leil HaSeder is to remind us that Hashem sustains the entire world every single moment of the day, and says Rav Matasyo Salman. And he acknowledges that this is a wonderful and important idea. It is so important that we should realize that Hashem supports us, Hashem gives us what we need, whatever we have in life is dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But why is this at the end of the Seder? And what does that have to do with Pesach and Siyas Mitzrayim? So you're right, it's very important to say, every Shabbos when we say Pesukah Dezimra, we should meditate on Ki La'olam Chasto, that Hashem gives us what we need and Hashem provides for all of humanity. But what does that have to do with right now? right now at the end of the Seder. Why do we have to add this on? So he adds another question. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches says that someone who recites every single day you get up and you recite all of the halas you find it in your art school sitter, is a mecharef umegadef. He curses and blasphemes Hashem. What's wrong with that? You think it's great to say halal every single day. Praising Hashem, it's very exciting. How wonderful HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. What's wrong with saying halal every single day? So the Shach al HaTorah, not the Shach that's in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Shach of the Talmidim of the Arizal, writes in Parshas Shmos, in Parshas Bo. And he explains that halal speaks of the major and obvious miracles. Halal is about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Halal is about Kriyas Yamsuf. Halal is about the miraculous victories in battle, creations of states, big, big events in Jewish history. If a person says halal every single day, then they are seemingly saying that we can only praise and acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu when there are amazing and open miracles. And therefore, a person who says halal every single day is really belittling Hashem and not seeing that Hashem is in everything and is in everywhere in their life. He doesn't praise Hashem for the small things in life and the nisim nistarim, the hidden miracles. It says, al nisecha shebecho yom imanu, v'al niflosecha shebecholet, for the miracles that happen every single day at all times. What do you mean miracles that happen every single day? Every single thing that happens in our life, says the Ramban in the end of Parshas Shmos. U'min ha-nisim ha-gadolim ha-mefursamim adamoda b'nisim ha-nistarim. From the big miracles and the miraculous events and the big stories, we will come to recognize that even the smallest things, shem yisod ha-Torah kula, they are the foundation of the Torah. A Jew should strive to see Hashem in everything and acknowledge that everything we have in Gashmias, in our physical realm, is everything we need from Hashem. And perhaps now, says Rav Matos Yehuda Salomon, we can appreciate Halal HaGadol at the end of the Seder. We began the Leil HaSeder with miracles and pyrotechnics and explosions and splitting of seas and makos, and it was incredible. And we had frogs in a bag, and we had fake blood at the table, and we had people dressing up as paro, and all types of exciting things at the Seder. But now at the end of the Seder, when all the big miracles are done, and we sang B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim, it is not sufficient to end the Seder there. That's only the beginning. Because serious and real work on Emunah means to see Hashem, not in the Nisim Gluyim, but rather to develop awareness with closeness with Hashem in everything we do on the small level. And the purpose of Leil HaSeder is to come to this point where we recognize that Hashem is no sein lechem l'chol basar, ki liolam chasto. And Hallel is not enough. We need Hallel HaGadol. We need a special Hallel at the end to take the big ideas of the Seder and to put them down into our world to give us a proper perspective on the day-to-day events as well. By the way, that's not the point right now, but in the beginning of the Seder, that's why, according to some of the Mefarshim, we have a discussion about the Zman Kriya Shema, the Shema at night, the Shema during the day. So says the Teferet Shlomo, says the Rabbi of Radomsk, why are we talking about Shema? This is about Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is talking about Pesach. Why are we talking about Shema in the night, Shema in the morning? No, says the Teferet Shlomo. If you don't understand that you have to take the big picture of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Leil HaSeder, and then transfer it with you every single day going forward into that Shema in the morning, into that Kriya Shema Lamita, then you miss the point. You got to take the big stuff and transfer it and channel it into the small stuff as well. Let's move on now to Echad Miyodea. This is an idea from the newly reprinted Haggadah Shel Pesach of Avraham Shor, Halekach V'Halibov of Tufshin Pei Aleph. And he notes that this expression of Echad Miyodea, so Echad Ani Yodea, I know, seems to lack a bit of anava. No, where's the humility? Who knows one? I know one. It's like a student who's a little bit too giddy to answer the question to be the teacher's pet. Of course, thank you very much. You know one. Yasher Karach. Do you have to say, I know one, I know two, I know three? Where's the humility? It seems a bit of gaivadik. So he suggests a beautiful insight based on a comment of Rav Yosef Engel, the Rav of Krakow, in his Beis HaOtzer. In Chelek Hei, the Beis HaOtzer was an encyclopedic work on Halach and Machshava and Torah Sheva'al Peh put together by the genius Rav Yosef Engel. He only put out two volumes and it only got to the middle of letter Beis, and then he never finished the rest. So in the letter Aleph, Vav, on the word Omer, he makes the following brilliant comment. He says that throughout Shas, we find that when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the editor and the author of the Mishnayos, states his opinion, He always says, Ani Omer, I say. We don't find it by anybody else in Shas where they state their opinion and say, Ani Omer, I say. So the Rav Yosef Engel suggests two things. He says, really, Ani Omer is a lashon of humility. How is that humble? I say, how is that humble? Because he says, the Gemara in Sota Daf Mem Tes tells us that when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi died, it was the end of Anava, it was the end of true humility. So why does he say, Omer Ani, that I say? So rather he explains as follows. He says, nowadays, very often people will say, in my humble opinion, Nira Lefi Anias Da'ati, it appears in my humble opinion. When Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi would say his opinion, and what his thought was in Halacha, he would say, Omer Ani, this is what I say. I think the halacha is like this. Other people may have their opinion, but I would never say the halacha is A, B, and C. This is Asr. This is Mutter. Rather, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying in his humility is, I think the opinion is like this. You have your opinion, but I think the opinion is like this. And therefore, it's not a definitive fact. That's one way to explain Ani Yodea. Echad Ani Yodea. Fine. Number two, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, is that the word Ani, according to the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We find, for example, in Hoshanas on Sukkos, we say, Ani v'ho Hoshiana. Ani v'ho, says Tosos, is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Sukkos says that when Hillel would come to the Simchas Beis HaShaleva, he would say, Im ani kan hakol kan. If I'm here, everybody's here. So the Mefarshim struggle. Hillel, where's the humility? If you're at the Simchas Beis HaShaleva, everybody's here? No. Rashi says, Ani is a reference to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Im Ani kan hakol kan. If Ani, Hashem who is the Ani, the only pure I, the only pure oneness in the world is present, then everything is present. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was saying that whatever wisdom and opinion I have to offer is only from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Omer Ani. Whatever I'm saying comes from the Ani, Hashem. So therefore, says Rav Avraham Shor, on the night of the Seder, we hope that we have come to a place by the point of Nirtza where we can say, Echad Ani Yodea. Whatever I have to say about these things doesn't come from the Ani that is Gashmius. It comes from the Ani Yodea. Whatever my knowledge is about numbers comes from the Ani, the one true Ani, the one true one, which is Hashem. And that's what we're saying. If I know anything about the Luchos, the Avos, the Imos, the five books of the Torah, and the six books of the Mishnah, and the 7 days till Shabbos, all those things, it comes from Ani, which is Hashem. Okay. Let's move on now to the end of Echad Ani Yodea. And this, I think, is really Kodesh Kedoshim, the following pshat and the following question. The question is amazing, and the answer is perhaps equally amazing, if not better. Listen to the following idea. This is an idea that I heard somewhere else, and I wrote down in my notes, and I said, I need to find out more about this pshat. So last night, in preparation for this year, I made a few phone calls with the thanks of my father-in-law. I got in touch with a Rabbi Naftali Heinemann. Rabbi Naftali Heinemann is a gentleman who lives in Muncie. And he has a book called Dear Children on the Parsha. And in this book, Dear Children on the Parsha, Rabbi Heinemann shares Divrei Torah that he shares with his family. And he shares it with the greater public. And this idea he read to me from his book, and it is so beautiful and so important, I must share it with you. This is in his book, Dear Children on Bracious, on the Parshas of Vayeshev. And he notes that the Baal Haggadah tells us that there is a great significance in the number 11, the 11 stars of Yosef's dream. Now, let's think about this for a moment. Perhaps maybe, besides for the number 9, the number 9 relates to the 9 months of carrying a child, and we've discussed this in the past, why that is significant only for Jewish people. Why is it a particularly Jewish number as opposed to the rest of the world? But let's go through the numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13. Hashem, the Luchos, the Avos Imos, the Torah, the Mishnayos, Shabbos, Mila, the Aseres HaDibros, the Shvatim, and Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim. Those are major Jewish ideas, big fundamental things. But let's be honest. Outside of the Leil HaSeder and Parshas Vayeshev, do we ever think about the number 11 and how it represents or relates to the brothers, the 11 brothers in Yosef's dreams? It is such an oddly specific and seemingly irrelevant number in Jewish life. But we sing through it like, of course, oh, 11 Nasars in the dream. Like it's this super important number. Really? There's other 11s as well. What about the Ketores? The Ketores has 11 ingredients. We're not singing about the 11 spices in the Ketores. What is so fundamental about this? It's such a good question. In addition, the brothers are going to be mentioned 3 seconds later by the number 12 of the Shvatim. So what do we gain by recognizing them in star form as 11 in the dream of Yosef? And also, the 11 stars aren't even real. They're part of a dream. They're not real things. So the answer, says Rabbi Heinemann, is that the dream is telling us much more than it appears on the surface. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Hei tells us that a person dreams at night about what he thinks during the day. And science tells us the same thing as well. The brothers hated Yosef, as we know. So much so they couldn't even say Divrei Shalom to him. They couldn't even say hello to him. He was in a situation where his brothers hated him for all different kinds of reasons. They threw him in a pit. They sold him to the Ishmaelim. We would think that when Yosef thought about his brothers during the day, he'd think of them as evil people who were causing him pain and suffering, out to kill him. But what we see from Yosef's dream and this window into his subconscious is that we understand that his thoughts of his brothers are as them as stars, shining, beautiful stars. He didn't see bad in his brothers. He might have seen them as people who made mistakes and had faults in them, but he saw them as beautiful, shining stars. He viewed them as special peoples, as symbolized by the stars of the dream. And therefore, this number 11, representing the 11 stars, teaches us a tremendous yesod on the Leil HaSeder, that a Jew should always see the greatness of another Jew. The lesson of the 11 stars are a lesson in the fundamental idea of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Where in Echad Miyodea do you have a lesson Bein Adam L'Chaveiro? It's by the number 11, says Rabbi Heinemann. And even when another Jew is being difficult, and even when another Jew is being challenging, we should try our best to view them as shining stars. And let us bring Avas Chinam into our lives, and this let us be the message for the 11 stars. That's what Rabbi Heinemann, it should be our thoughts when we get to number 11. Hafla Vefela. An amazing, amazing pshat. And I thank Rabbi Heinemann for sharing with me last night. Let's turn now to the culmination of the Seder, and that is Chad Gad Yah. As I say every year, there's only one true MS pshat. That is the pshat of the Zeicha Yehosef, of Yosef Zechariah Stern, in his Haggadah Shal Pesach. Everything else, I think, is perhaps a commentary on Chag Gadah, but we'll give you another parish that I think opens up Chag Gadah in a beautiful way. Rav Yosef Masas, the great Moroccan rabbi, was a young married man and sitting at the table by his father-in-law, Leil HaSeder. And someone asked at the Seder what Chag Gadah was about. So someone said, it's Al Pi Sod. So another person at the table said, whenever you people don't know the answer to anything, you just tell me it's Kabbalah, it's Al Pi Sod. You don't know the answer. You're like, oh, I don't know. It must be Al Pi Kabbalah. It's Al Pi Sod. Ooh, mystical. So Rav Masas was very sad. He says, it's a Chil Hashem. People don't take things seriously. They think Chag Gadah is a joke. So he wrote his own Perish on Chag Gadah. We're talking about a Rav who lived in the last 100 years. His own original Perish to Chag Gadah. Listen to what he says. He says, the Gadah, the goat, is Klal Yisrael, who sits like a lamb amongst the wolves that are the nations of the world. And the Abba is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who bought us twice, who acted on our behalf twice. Two times Hashem was Zuz. The word Zuzim comes from the word Zuz, to move. What are the two times Hashem moved for us, Kavi Yachal? One was at Makkos Bechoros, where it says, V'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim. What does it mean, Hashem moved in Eretz Mitzrayim? I think we all know by now that Hashem doesn't have a physical body. What does it mean, Hashem moved in Eretz Mitzrayim? So the Maril Diskin explains that Mitzrayim is a large area. Mitzrayim is a large country. And as we know from any Zmanim chart, the point of midnight will be geographically different based on where it sits on the globe, right? No different than the times for Shabbos nowadays, right? You look on my Zmanim chart, you know, the time for Shabbos in the Bronx will be different than the time for Shabbos in Rochester. Oh, it's all New York. But as you change elevations and things like that, the times of where the Zmanim occur are going to change based on a few miles from place to place. Never thought about this before. So when a Kadosh Baruch Hu killed the firstborn on the Leil HaSeder, he killed each firstborn when it was exactly chatzos in their individual location. It wasn't that, like this, all the firstborn were struck. If chatzos was a 101 in one part of Mitzrayim, and it was 102 in another part of Mitzrayim, then at each chatzos, the firstborn were killed. And therefore it appeared as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was moving, that he was being zuz, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was dancing around Mitzrayim. And this was all done for the kavod of Klal Yisrael. That's the first time Hashem was zuz. The other time was at Kriyas Yamsuf, when Hashem revealed himself to the Jewish people. So those are the shtei zuzin, the two times that Hashem moved, so to speak, for the Jewish people. The Gemara in Hor Yosef says that a cat always forgets. And this cat is Paro, who forgot about Yosef. Vayakam Melech Hadash, Asher Lo Yadas Yosef, the new king who didn't know about Yosef, and he attacked Bnei Yisrael. So Paro, the cat, attacked Bnei Yisrael. So what did Hashem do? He gave Paro punishments of tzaras. The dog was the tzaras that Hashem sent to Paro, because the tzaras are the bite of a dog that hurts the skin of a person when the dog bites. However, this led Paro to make a terrible, drastic decision. And unfortunately, as the Medrash tells us, he slaughtered Jewish children in the hope that their blood would cure his tzaras. In response, Moshe came and took away the tzaras so Paro could be punished. So Moshe is the shoresh and the yesod of Klal Yisrael. Moshe is the foundation, the centerpiece of Klal Yisrael. It is interesting that we are told that Jewish mothers were having 6 babies at a time. Right? We all know this, right? We all have pictures. I think I saw a picture of a Purim costume one year of a little girl pushing around a stroller with 6 babies in Eretz Yisrael, saying that she was a mother in Mitzrayim. So we see that the Jewish mothers gave birth to 6 babies at a time. Everybody ever wonder that seemingly Yocheved didn't have that quality? Every single time she had a baby, it was only 1 at a time. What happened to Yocheved? Interesting point. So Cesar of Massas, because Moshe Rabbeinu and his siblings were so great that they equaled Klal Yisrael. The number 6 is not insignificant, 600,000, Shishim Ribo, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu equaled the Jewish people. And the Navi Yeshayahu refers to Moshe as a Shoresh, Vayetze Choter Migeze Yishai, and therefore Vyasa Chutra, Moshe the Shoresh, the foundation, the focal point of Klal Yisrael, comes and hits the dog, comes and takes away the tzaras. Fine. And Moshe takes Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. 50 days after Yitzias Mitzrayim, you know that Moshe goes up to Har Sinai to get the Torah. The Medrash says that when Moshe went up to Har Sinai, the Malachim wanted to burn him with fire for trying to take the Torah. And the fire is the spiritual fire of the Malachim. And the fire came to burn the stick. The stick is the Choter, the central point of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, grab onto the Kisei HaKavod and you answer the questions of the Malachim, Moshe. Stand up for yourself. Why should the Jewish people take the Torah? So Moshe answered the Malachim with a reason from the Torah. It says in the Torah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher tzeisicha me'aretz Mitzrayim. So says Moshe to the Malachim, no, Malachim, Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim, you were slaves. It says in the Torah, Kabeda savicha v'yasimecha, you should honor your mother and father. Malachim, Gavriel, Michael, Rafal, you guys have mommies and daddies? I don't think so. The Torah is for the Jewish people, it's not for you. So therefore then came the water. The water is always a mashal for Torah, and it extinguished the fire. Meaning the answers that Moshe Rabbeinu gave, that he brought from the psukim of the Torah, protected Moshe against the fire of the Malachim. However, while Moshe was on the mountain, Klal Yisrael sinned with the Egel Azav, and he came down from Har Sinai, and he broke the Luchos. The Surah, the golden calf of the ox, removed the protection of the Torah, and it led to the Shvias HaLuchos, the breaking of the Luchos. So Moshe now comes, and he grinds up the Egel into powder, into dust, and he puts it into water, and he made Bnei Yisrael drink it. And therefore, we say that Moshe shechted the ox. He destroyed the ox, he destroyed the Egel Azav. So comes the Shochet, and it shechs the ox. So now, Moshe saves the day again. At the end of the life of Moshe, the Medrash says that the Malach Michal, the angel comes to kill Moshe Rabbeinu, to take his neshama, but Moshe sends him away. Gavriel comes to take away the neshama Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe sends him away. So finally Hashem sends the Malach HaMavas, b'chvodo uv'atzmo, all by himself to take Moshe. And this is the Shochet, right? The Moshe is the shochet of the Egel Azav, and the Malach HaMavach comes to take away the shochet, the one who broke the Egel Azav. And Moshe took his Mat Elokim, he took his staff that had the Shema Mefarsh, the name of Hashem, and he sent it towards the Malach HaMavach to chase him away. And therefore, the Malach HaMavach is defeated, V'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu, represented by the Shemas of Hashem, on the staff of Moshe Rabbeinu, V'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu, the great Shem Hashem comes, the Shema Mefarsh comes, and removes the Malach HaMavach, and it sends the Malach HaMavach away. And this, says Rav Yosef Masas, is the final message of the Leil HaSeder, that we wait for a time, and we daven for a day, when we will banish the Malach HaMavach, we will be reunited with our families, the Avos and the Imos, and we reunite as a Klal Yisrael once again. And that, I think, is four or five ideas that we can share on the Seder. Again, I will beg and I will plead to make Halal and Nirtza great again. To come and to say something nice, either say it during the day, before you begin Halal and Nirtza, an idea that people can meditate upon, people can think about, people can mull over as they are singing the songs of Halal, ideas they can connect to as they're singing the songs of Echad Miyodea, Kilono E, Adir Hu, Chad Gadja, and to give a little bit of more of an inspiration, a little bit more of a feeling, a little more of a depth of a meaning to this piece of the Seder, and to turn Nirtza really into something that is very special. Okay, that's all I have to say.